Well, glory. Whew. God's going to do something. He's already done something, but he's going to do even more. If I want you to just open your hearts today to hear this word and let the word work in you. Let his spirit work in you. And then at the end, we're going to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to do. But if you'll open your hearts to receive, he's going to work and speak things into your heart as we go through this message. It won't be long, but let's see what God has today for us. Can you say amen? Well, Lord, I just thank you. I praise you for your presence that's in the house. We thank you today. You see every heart, every person that is here today, those that are watching online, those that will be watching online, Lord, in the hours to come, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask God that you would just work and do your will, do your work in their hearts and in our lives, God. And Lord, we just thank you today. Let the word go forth today. And Lord, I ask you to speak through me, Lord, and you hide me behind the cross. I don't want people to see me or to remember me, but to remember you and what you have done for us. And so we're going to give you praise today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's go into the word today. Two verses I have, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This is Paul writing his letter to the saints at Corinth, and they were called the Corinthians, and so this is in his first letter. Here's what he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God," or in the Spirit's power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let me begin this morning in the title of my message, God Uses Imperfect People. God uses imperfect people. I believe that most, if not all of us as individual children of God, as believers, we truly desire to have God's purpose or God's perfect will for our lives. How many want God's will for your life? Amen. And as we enter into the fall now of 2024, with the forecast of gloom and doom in regards to our economy, and even with all the signs pointing to a divided nation, and even the forecast of World War III upon us, and whether you realize it or not, we are at the very point of war breaking out, World War III. The Bible prophesies that there is a great war coming before the Lord returns. We need to be reminded, though, that God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. And he's watching over us as his body, who are called the church. And he doesn't want us to have to live. He doesn't want us to live in a constant state of fear or worry or dread about the future. We should not be afraid of the future. Now, if you don't know him, I would worry. But if you're a child of God, listen, there's nothing to be afraid of. You have to know it's God that is holding back the end time events for just a season longer. And yes, the enemy is still out there making plans. We see it every day, preparing their evil. And yes, Christians are being persecuted around the world for their faith. We have folks here in the United States who are being jailed, put in jail for just praying on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic. Now, how sad is that? And I saw this week where they penalized folks at the Olympics for just making the sign of the cross or even talking about their faith. And yes, it's bad, and it's going to get worse in this world. And all the biblical prophecies that have been foretold will come to pass. And many thought that when the calendar turned to the year 2000, it was known as Y2K, it would be the end. And in the last few years, with the signs in the heavens, including the red blood moons and the alignment of the stars and of the planets, many thought that Jesus was coming and we would all be raptured out of here. But it did not happen, and we, the body of Christ, are still here. So, Pastor, what does that mean? It simply means that Jesus Christ is still coming back. And He's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back for a powerful bride called His church. And it means then that we should stay ready and that we should stay expectant without fear, but be bold and be courageous in our faith on a daily basis and have our spiritual lamps full of oil awaiting the bridegroom. I don't want to be caught empty of His anointing oil in my life. It means that we're still here, so there must still be a purpose in that we're still here. And I believe that there is a last great shaking, a last great awakening that has begun and is going to sweep the globe, and many true prophets are saying that revival fires are igniting across the land for a season to reach as many souls as can be reached for an end time harvest. We're seeing that especially ignited on college campuses. In spite of all the junk going on, there are those, that remnant that is seeking God, especially in our youth, in our young men and women. Why is that? Because God loves mankind so much that it's not His desire that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So yes, we still have a work to do right here in Alvareda. And to accomplish God's plans for us as a local body and to see His purpose carried out in and through our lives, we have got then to use whatever means we have at our disposal. Now, this may sound silly and even kind of crazy, but I believe that one of the greatest challenges facing today's Christian is the amount of knowledge that is so readily available. And what I mean by that is with all the preaching and the teaching that's being done, if we're not careful, we can easily get drawn into what could be called that seven steps to, or that those three keys to mentality. That all we need to do is to follow these clearly defined points and all our problems will be solved. Can I tell you, if it had been left to the religious leaders of Jesus' time, the church would have never been born. This is what Jesus told them. We can find it in Matthew 22:29. Here's what Jesus told them. He said, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." The early church was born in a demonstration of the power of God, not through great public speakers or theological debate. And again, our text from 1 Corinthians 2, we see Paul wrote, "And my message and my preaching was not with persuasive words of wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit of power and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." We need to understand that Jesus left us with a great mission then of reaching the world. And this task would not be accomplished by just word alone. As in the early church, there also must be today a demonstration of the power of God. Many people have know the Word of God, and many have never experienced the power of God. They've got the Word in them, but they've never let it manifest the power that's in that Word. In fact, in many churches throughout the world today, people will preach the Scriptures with enticing words while in attempting then to turn the people to God. But then they stop short to only experience then a limited demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. In some churches, the miraculous has been replaced with human reasoning. Power has been replaced by theological debate. Understand then, when reason and debate take the place of the miraculous, do you know what we end up with? It's called religion. But I happen to believe people are tired of just plain old religion. And I, for one, Brother North, I want to experience the reality, meaning the reality of both the fullness of God's Word and His power in my life. I want both at work in my life. And I should want it for everyone that I come in contact with. So I believe then for us to be effective as a people called by God in this generation for an end time work, we must experience then the same flow of power as they did in the early church. We find in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, where the disciples went out and they preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it. But what happens is so many plan their ministry for God first, and then they say, "Well, God, this is what I'm going to do. Now I want you to bless it." And they wonder why nothing is working in their life. The biblical method then of effective ministry is the Lord working with us. Can you say that with me? With the Lord working with us. And that means confirming His word with miraculous signs. Listen, this might surprise you, but the world is not interested in what we have done for God. The world is attracted to Jesus when they see the visible results of the power of God which has changed your life. They will know there is something different about your life. And they will say, and I've had it said to me, even up at the laundromat, "There's just something about you that's different. What is it?" You know, and they open the door for me to talk to them about Jesus. When they see how determined a Brother Charlie is, who sits out here in his car under the overhang on a daily basis, reading his Bible and praying over the church and praying for his family and praying for over the hundreds of vehicles that pass by on a daily basis. And we know for a fact that God hears his prayers. We have had people pull in here and say, "Thank you. I knew y'all were praying for me, and I felt it." And we've had truckers go by on a daily basis blowing their horn at Brother Charlie, knowing he's there. And of course, yes, we've had those that come by, and for some reason, right in front of the church, they decide to roll down their window and spit. But that's okay. He's going to keep praising God. Amen. Bless them, God. Don't let that spit hit them in the face, you know. It's okay, because that's a testimony that attracts folks to Jesus. Keep on, Brother Charlie. Keep on doing what you're doing. The world will be attracted by the demonstration of spiritual power as the Lord works with us to confirm His word with miraculous signs. Now, there are many types of power in the world today. We know that there is the political power and the intellectual power. We know of physical power, financial power, even the power of the military. And I'm sure there's probably many others too. But the true call from Jesus is not to exercise any worldly power, but rather for us as believers, it's called spiritual power. Spiritual power. It is not a power that asks then, how can I be a master? But rather it asks, how can I serve? And here's what Jesus said in His own words from Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your minister or servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as ransom for many. Listen, spiritual power is given to us for the purpose of serving or ministering to a suffering, lost, and dying world. That's why we have the power from above. It's not given by majority vote. It's not given by buying it. It's not for sure given by having a title, nor is it based on our own abilities or our education. The source of spiritual power is the true and living God. And if we serve, if we as individuals then are willing to serve God, that power then is available to each and every one of us. I want whatever He's got. Amen. I want it all. When Jesus began His public ministry, it was a ministry of miracles. His ministry did not succeed because of its great organization. In fact, He started with 12 disciples and ended up with 11. And it did not succeed because of popularity, because in the end, everyone turned against Him, including His own followers. But His ministry touched the multitudes because of the demonstration of power. And I believe God is going to do something for somebody today, because we're going to give the Holy Spirit space and time to work today. In Luke chapter 4, verse 32, it says, they were astonished at His teaching because His word had power. His word had power. Luke 4:36, all the people were amazed and said to each other, what a word is this? With authority and power, He gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. I think the King James says all those who were oppressed, because God was with him. The early church then was birthed in a demonstration of power. It says in Acts 17:6, they turned the world upside down. The early church affected entire cities and entire nations, but they did not do it by just preaching alone. People listened, and then their lives were changed because they witnessed the demonstration of God's power. Listen to what the writer in Acts said, Acts 8, verses 6 through 8. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Watch this. And there was great joy in the city. There was great joy in the city. And then when Peter came to Lydda, he found a man named Aeneas who had been bedridden for 8 years. Acts 9 tells us, and Peter said, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And then he rose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, the apostle Peter raised a woman named Dorcas from the dead. And when this miracle took place, it says in Acts chapter 9, 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Listen, each miraculous demonstration of God's power, watch this, focused attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. Each power encounter resulted in multiplication of the church. The early church did not have enough influence to keep Peter out of prison, but they had enough power to pray him out. As they prayed, the angel came and opened the gate, and he walked out. You can believe this or not, but more preaching is not what will reach the world. The early church prayed for days, but then on the day of Pentecost, they only preached a few minutes, and 3,000 souls were saved. Finances, we know, are important to help the work of God, but they are not the most necessary essential. When Peter and John passed by the temple gate at Jerusalem, a lame beggar asked for a few coins, and Peter and John had no money to give them, but they did give them what they had. We see in Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them in the temple. And I love this, walking, leaping, and praising God. Would you say that with me? Walking, leaping, and praising God. Let's say it one more time. Walking and leaping and praising God. I'm getting happy all over, I'm telling you. Here's what they had. They had the power and authority in the name of Jesus. They had no advertising budget to reach the city of Jerusalem. They had no printed tracts. They had no Bible. They had no TV network. But they prayed, Brandon, and the power came. They prayed and the power came down. Brandon was right on point last Wednesday night when he spoke on prayer, and then we prayed. And again, we're going to give time for the Holy Spirit to work in this house in just a few minutes. When you read Acts chapter 3 and 4, you see that it was through the demonstration of God's power the entire city was impacted for Jesus. The early church knew that the gospel of the kingdom was not only of word, but it was of power. Again, 1 Corinthians 4 and 20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And so we, as a body of believers known as New Life Ministries, were not called then to sit on the sidelines and watch history unfold. But we are called to be history makers. We are called to be history changers. So where does that leave us right here and right now? Yes, we have a promise of spiritual power, but there is a process to follow. We have the choice and the power to accept the promises of God or reject those promises or even ignore those promises. Many people throughout the church world, including good and honest folks who love God, have rejected the promise of spiritual power. They believe it was only for the early church, and others have ignored it altogether. They have read the promises in the Bible, but they have failed then to act on them. And they've been left then so many churches out there in the world. They have been left then without the demonstration of God's power in their lives. Why? Because they have exercised their own power of choice, and they have failed to claim that promise of spiritual power. But understand, whenever there is a promise in God's Word that is not fulfilled in our lives, it does not mean that it is not true or not for us. We cannot interpret the Bible on the basis of our own experience. Just because you or I have not yet experienced then a promise of God does not mean that it is not true and that it is not a valid promise. Let's realize that the promise of power in our lives is a gift from God, but we must choose to accept that gift. And I want all of His promises to be fulfilled in my life. And so for us to possess any biblical promise then, we have to first understand the principles upon which it's based. The promises of God are always based on certain principles which always involve a response from man. For example, many promises of God are based on the if and then principle. God says, if you will do this certain thing, then you will receive this promise. And we see that especially in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So to experience then the promise of the spiritual power, we have to understand again the biblical principles of power. And these principles, listen, are imparted by the Holy Spirit Himself. Look for a moment. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Jesus is asking His disciples a question. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And watch what he says. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we see then that the Lord truly wants us to be full of power, or we could say power full and power filled believers. Now, Someone can come and give us a gift, and we can choose to accept it. And with it come the instructions. And we can read the instructions and understand them. But guess what? Unless we use the instructions to operate the gift, the product is still useless to us. Can I tell you that then that just having an understanding of biblical power principles is not enough. We must apply those principles to our own lives. If the Word says you are a child of the King, guess what? You are, and so you need to act like it. So then, if you are to live like a child of the Most High God, if the Word says He will always look after you, guess what? You've got to believe that His Word is true and that He is going to look after you. If He says, ask me something and just believe it and I will do it, then guess what? You need to do just that. If the Word says, go the extra mile, guess what? You're going to get ready. You're going to walk. Did you know that many Christians do not experience power because they never get beyond the point of spiritual blessings? The Holy Spirit begins to move upon them and they feel great joy. And so they laugh or they cry and they sing or they shout and they dance. And many of us have been there, and guess what? It's wonderful. And I love it. I love the joy. They are blessed by God, and yes, they respond emotionally. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible is filled with such spiritual experiences. But here's the meat of my message today. And I believe it will take us on into fulfilling what God wants to do through us in the remainder of this year. God wants us to move, or He wants to move His people beyond the point of blessing and into the realm of spiritual power. And also move us beyond our emotion into demonstration. Simply meaning, become proactive. Turn your blessings into action. Do something with the peace of God that He has given you. Do something with the joy that He has given you. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel traveled for many months from Egypt through the desert to the land that God had promised them. And when they reached the edge of the promised land, Moses sent in spies to check out the land. And we know from that story that 10 of the spies brought back a negative report. They said there were giants in the land, and there was no way Israel could go in to possess it. Only 2 spies urged the people to enter and possess what God had promised them. Israel chose then to listen to the negative report. And because of this, although it was only 11 days' journey from where they had been camped to the promised land, it took Israel 40 years to make that journey. God brought Israel to the point of blessing. In fact, they were at the edge of the promised land. And God's power then was available now to conquer the enemy. But Israel refused to move forward in His power. There was nothing wrong with the promise. The problem was Israel's refusal to possess. Listen, individually and corporately, let's determine from this day forward that we will not stop when we get to the point of blessings in our life. I love the joy, and I thank God for His peace. But let's take those things then let's take his love that he gives us and let's make that decision that says, I must break through into the spiritual realm of power no matter what. Turn that peace, turn that joy, turn those things against the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Remind the devil, oh no, the joy is my strength. You're not stealing it today. I'm going to speak peace over my life, devil. I'm going to speak peace over my family and over my children. You can walk into your room at work and you can declare peace over that place. Remember the lady with the issue of blood. She got up that one day and determined that was the day she would find this Jesus. And if nothing else, get down and just touch the hem of his garment. She knew that she would be healed. And she did, and she was made whole, the Bible says. Speaking for me, again, I don't want to find myself come to the end of this year having only wandered through it in a dry, powerless experience. Listen, if God shows us, and maybe he has already, but if God shows you or shows me an area in our life that needs correcting, and we have yet to respond to his promptings, then begin to do something about it. Because how can God take us further in him if we haven't dealt with those things? How can he use us in the most effective way then to bring about his plans and his purpose in our lives? If there is some hidden sin, maybe it's pride, maybe it's apathy, maybe it's complacency, or maybe a fear of failure, or even unforgiveness, then guess what? Let's deal with those things right now. Amen. I've determined to deal with my mess, with my issues right now. I do not want to carry them into judgment and stand before him, because guess what? If that happens, it's too late for me. If I haven't dealt with those things in my life now, he's going to deal with it, and it's not going to be pretty. We've come too far to turn back now. I almost asked you to sing that song today, but I didn't do it. Let's determine to move beyond the point of blessing and into the realm of the power. Use that joy to reach that person who is despondent. What's wrong? What's wrong with you? I'm just down in my spirit. You can speak joy over their lives. You can speak peace into their life. You can tell them what you have in you. We don't have to live weak, anemic lives. We do not have to settle for mediocrity. Can you say amen? Amen. We have the opportunity to walk in power and courage and boldness, not accepting the words of man that says, I'll never change, or it'll always be this way. We are not called to be settlers. We are called to be overcomers in our lives. We are called to walk in victory, not live a life with a victim mentality. Do you hear what I'm saying? How about we become demonstrators instead of spectators? Oh, praise God, I just love what they're doing. Well, get down there in the middle of it. Be a part of what they're doing. Be a doer instead of a hearer. And if we are to be salt and light to a dark world, then let our salt and light do its work. Not just talk about what we have. Well, I have his light in me. Oh, I'm salty. I have his salt in. No, do something with that. Amen. Hallelujah. When we do that, we will experience the true flow of God's power. We will experience an anointing which we have never known before. we will experience real life instead of religion. As too many folks have experienced religion and that's all they've ever known. We'll become true climate changers. That being the influencers of the environment. Actually being able to change the atmosphere that we live in. In other words, you can walk into a negative environment at work and change the very atmosphere. Amen. The Holy Ghost inside you. It's not going to stand for them the way they're talking and acting. They're going to shut up or they're going to have to go. They have to go to another room. Well, Pastor, I'm not anybody special. I'm just ordinary. I still make mistakes. Well, let me just ask, who do you think God is going to use to bring His plans into existence? Who out here is perfect? There are no perfect people. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it's ordinary people like you and me. That's who He's going to use. You may think you cannot experience this power because you lack the education or because you do not get behind a pulpit or have never been to Bible college. Then I need to tell you something. Just like that cartoon video some years ago called VeggieTales. Anybody remember VeggieTales? That one vegetable came out and he said to the others, I need to tell you something. I have no belly button. Well, that's not what I'm going to tell you. But I want to tell you that none of these things should ever stand in the way of our receiving spiritual power from on high. Amen. Amen. Listen, the Word of God is filled with examples of imperfect people who were used of God in mighty ways. I'm almost through. Abraham, let's look at him for a moment. He lied about Sarah being his wife because he was fearful. Yet he was used of God to found the great nation of Israel. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a liar and he was a schemer. But when God touched him, he became the prince with power with God and man. Well, what about Moses? He was not a good speaker, and he killed an Egyptian in anger. Yet God used him to lead an entire nation, over 2 million people, up to the promised land. How about Peter? He sank while walking on the water. He always said the wrong thing at the wrong time. He'd stick his foot in his mouth, wouldn't he? And in the end, we see he denied knowing Jesus 3 different times. Yet this ordinary fisherman stood and gave a powerful testimony on the day of Pentecost, which when you read the story, you find it resulted in the salvation of over 3,000 people. How about Gideon? A young man who was hiding in fear to thresh grain. He was called to deliver an entire nation. How about King David? He committed adultery. He took another man's wife and had him murdered. Yet he was the greatest king of Israel. And he was called a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he had kept a tender heart. He had to pay the consequences. Oh my gosh. He paid a dear price. But he stayed humble before God. He wanted his heart right. And so God forgave him and used him mightily. Peter and John, both poor fishermen who had no money or education, but the healing power of God flowed through them to stir up entire cities. So if imperfect people such as these can be entrusted with spiritual power, can He not use us despite our own human failures? God calls ordinary men and women and makes them extraordinary. He takes our natural and adds His super in front of it and makes it supernatural. He does not see you as you see yourself. He does not see you as others might see you. God sees us as we can become when, listen now, when we are endued with spiritual power from on high. Just as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, God uses earthen vessels, imperfect, ordinary people, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. God gets the glory. God gets all the glory. And I'm convinced more than ever that if we want to be an influence on the world around us, rather than be influenced by it, we must have this power of God working through us. One last scripture, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Remember, God desires for us to be transformed, not conformed. And that comes as we yield our lives fully to Him. Let that power of joy that He's given you, let it work in your life. Let that power of peace work in your life to reach others. The power of God's love, use it to reach the hearts of other people. I'm telling you, God will do it. Let's use every gift and every tool God has made available to us to carry out His purpose in these last days. Let's use our saltiness. Let's use the light to the fullest. Let's let our peace and our joy and our love break the enemy's hold on people's lives. That's what I'm talking about. Just don't talk the talk, but let's walk the walk. Amen? Can I just tell you now that the Lord wants to do something for you today? He's ready to touch you. He's ready to heal you. He's ready to deliver you. He's ready to set you free of some things in your life. He's ready to take that oppression from you. He's ready to open doors in your life. He's ready to do so many things if you will allow Him to do it. And we're going to believe it. We're going to ask and we're going to believe. Let's all stand together. I'd like for our leaders to come. Hallelujah. Put us some music on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe there's something that you're wanting to do in the days to come. Something that you need to happen. Whatever area that might be. Let us agree with you in prayer about that. You need a job. It's okay if you prayed about it last week or the week before. Why don't you make your way up here? And what we will do, we will agree with you in prayer that God will open a door for you this very week. Amen. It doesn't have to be a month down the road. You don't have to go another 2 or 3 weeks or months. God can open a door for you this very week. What about for your family members? You want something to happen in some of your family members. You want something to change in you. Listen, He'll give you direction. He'll show you exactly what you need to do. If you will believe it, as we ask and believe and we agree with you in prayer here in just a few minutes, listen, you can get up in the morning and have such a clear mind. The fog is lifted off. And you'll know, this is what I need to do today. He'll show you. Every one of you have got so much potential in you God is ready to bring that peace out. He's ready to bring that joy out. He's ready to bring His love out and do for others. And I'm not talking about preaching to others. Do you know what the power that my mother had? You know what her gifting was? She would fix cornbread and take it over to the neighbor in the next yard and hand it to her across the dealing. My mom made good crusty cornbread. She called it a pong of cornbread. Oh my gosh, it was so good. Hot butter on it. Oh my gosh, I'm hungry already. That was her gifting. She and those people, they just opened the door for her to know them, and they welcomed her in. And from that point on, oh my gosh, they were like this. God did a work. That was her gifting. God has a gifting in each one of you. It may not be able to preach behind a pulpit, but I'm telling you, if you will show God's love to folks, and I don't mean compromise, you stand up for what's right. People are wanting to hear the truth. They're wanting to see people that are standing up for something. Amen. Don't ride the fence. You determine that today you're going to get all in for Jesus. Amen. Don't stand back. Don't hold back. Well, Pastor, I don't sing. You can sing in your heart. Amen. What that little kid say, I may not be hollering on the outside, jumping on the outside, but I'm jumping on the inside. God's ready to do. Amen. Can you come today? Would you come and stand with some of these, whoever, whatever you need? Sister Patsy, would you come? Let's just stand in for Carrie today. And God's going to touch your body today. She needs supernatural strength, Sister Nora. Would y'all pray with her and agree with her in Jesus' name?